We've been in the midst of a series called Courageous Faith, and we've been doing it for some time. And so I want to just continue on with that, and we're going to look at, and if you got a bulletin, there's an outline in there, and we're going to look at kind of part nine this week and next week. And I want to look at having the courage to wait on God. How many of you just like waiting in line? Yeah. Oh, I almost got somebody tricked. Come on. Yeah. You know, a few things make us more irritated than having to wait. You know, we kind of live in a microwave society. We want it done right now. And in fact, we want it done yesterday. It's funny because we've got these fancy computers that are so fast, but they're not fast enough, are they? No, it's like, come on. So a few things irritate us more than having to wait. We don't like to wait. How many of you enjoy waiting in traffic? Yeah, I don't think I got any takers on that. Does anybody actually like traffic, period? I don't think so. How many of you have been to Disneyland? Yeah, the best place on earth, supposedly. Don't you love waiting in line at Disneyland? No, now they've got the fast passes, and you still wait in line. But we just don't like waiting. You know, and technology, which has speeded up everything in our world, has made us much more accustomed to things happening fast. And so technology has made us more impatient, for far more impatient than, say, a farmer of 100 years ago. Yet waiting, I believe, is an important part of life. It's an important part of character development, and we all love that, right? Character development. There's some things that we only learn in waiting that we can learn no other way. Would you agree with me, you parents, would you agree that every child has to learn the difference between no and not yet? There's a difference. They're not the same thing, are they? But an immature child doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. Our inability to wait is the cause of so many challenges in our lives. You know, we get in a hurry. Our inability to delay gratification is the cause of probably all debt that we get into. It's the cause of all debt. The inability to wait until you can afford it. You buy it on credit, you get in debt, and I think it's why America is in debt. So many social problems, even diseases, come from our inability to delay sexual gratification until marriage. And so many other problems really come from this issue of, I want it. I want it. I want it now. It causes broken hearts. Have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? Yeah, most of us have been. It's the most frustrating of all. When you're in God's waiting room, you know, you can rush your kids, but you can't rush God. And that's frustrating sometimes. Some of you right now are waiting on God. You're in God's waiting room. You're waiting for God to open a door. You're waiting for God to give you a job opportunity. You're waiting on God for an answer to a prayer. You're waiting for clarification. You're waiting for new direction. You're waiting for God to remove a pain or heal a relationship. And you go, I don't get this. I pray, and nothing seems to be happening. There is a delay. Remember, no is not the same as not yet. So why does God delay things when clearly he has the power and he can answer every prayer just instantly? If you had every prayer answered, you'd be selfish. You know, because you treat God like a vending machine. You know, God, I need this. Pull the trigger, boom, I've got it instantly. You know, and God sometimes has to work on you before he works on the solution. The Bible says this in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 3:11. It's on the top of your outline, if you have your outline. It says, God does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he is doing. Well, duh. You know, if you did understand everything God was doing, you'd be God. God is God, and I'm not. You know, so I don't understand what is just right, and I don't always understand what is on time. So today I want us to look at, what do you do when you have to wait on God? Having the courage to wait on God. I want to ask two questions. I'm going to ask one this week and one next week. And this week we're going to focus on, what do I need to remember when I'm in the waiting room of life? And next week we'll look at, what do I need to do when I'm in the waiting room of life? Because this whole subject of waiting on God is an element of courageous faith. Waiting is as much faith as taking the initiative on something. Waiting can be as much a matter of trust as it is taking a risk, or any of the other things that we've looked at over the last 10 weeks. What do you need to remember while you're waiting on God, and what do you need to do? So let's look at these. First this morning, I want to give you briefly five things you need to remember. And you're going to need these, so you might write them down so you can remember them. When you have asked God for something, and it hasn't come yet, and you're in that kind of delay period where you haven't seen the answer to your prayer, what do? You remember five things. Here's the first one. Number one, remember there is a natural delay between planting and harvesting. Now, for an old farm boy, that comes natural, you know. Remember, there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. We talked about this in the message on laws of sowing and reaping. And there's a natural delay. For example, if you have a garden, some of you may have gardens. When you plant seeds one day, you don't go out the next day and expect to see full-grown tomatoes. No. There's a delay. When you plant a carrot seed, you don't expect to go out the next day and see carrots. There's always a delay between planting and harvesting. There's always a delay between sowing and reaping. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to scatter and a time to gather. It's simply talking about seasons. You always get the results of what you plant in life in another season, not in the same season. You don't plant and harvest in the same season. You might write this down. I reap in a different season than I sow. I reap in a different season. And during that season of waiting, you wait quietly. You wait expectantly. You wait patiently in faith. I remember that, and you just remember there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. So when I've put in a request to God and it's not going to be instantly fulfilled, there's always a delay. Here's the second one. Number two, I need to remember that there is an unseen battle going on. Remember, there's an unseen battle. You know, there is an unseen battle going on at all times. There's spiritual warfare going on in a realm that we don't even understand. We don't see it. We don't feel it. But in the cosmic heavenlies, there's a spiritual war in other dimensions between good and evil, between God and Satan, between angels and demons. And the fact is, you're caught right in the middle. If you're a child of God, you may not know this, but Satan hates you. It's a strong word. If you're a child of God, Satan hates you, and he wants to mess you up. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, we are not struggling and fighting against human beings, but against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, the rulers, authorities, and powers of darkness. So many times as Christians, we live our lives and we're kind of just blind to this. what this verse is saying is that when you send up a prayer, there's often a battle on how that's going to be answered. Satan starts throwing, while you're in the waiting room, he starts throwing darts at you, the dart of doubt, the dart of discouragement, the dart of disappointment, the dart of delay, the dart of depression. And he starts throwing these darts at you. It says that we should be aware that he's going to try to get you down. The truth is, we don't really know this much, and the Bible doesn't even tell us that much about spiritual warfare that's going on behind your prayers, but we do get a glimpse of it in one book of the Bible. It's in the book of Daniel. You may have never even seen this passage of Daniel, but it's the one time in the Bible that shows the spiritual warfare going on behind the answer to prayers that you have prayed and the things that you're trusting God for in your life. Let me read it to you. In Daniel chapter 10, it says this, and Daniel, he had a vision, and he had this vision of an angel come to him, and the angel says to Daniel in this vision, this is what it says, "Daniel, God loves you deeply." I want to let you guys know, he loves you deeply too. He does. Okay, "Daniel, God loves you deeply, and God has heard your prayers since the very first day you humbled yourself." Let me just say this. When you pray a prayer, God heard it the very first time. You know, it's not like he wasn't listening until number 95. You know, God has heard every prayer. So when you prayed a prayer, he heard your prayer from the very first moment. The angel said, "God loves you deeply. He heard your prayer since the very first day you humbled yourself." And then he goes on to say in this verse, "I, the angel, have come in answer to your prayers. But," and here's the interesting part, the evil angel prince of this kingdom opposed and blocked me for 21 days. He says, your prayer hasn't been answered for 21 days. He's telling this to Daniel. And he goes on, he says, "I was opposed in this spiritual battle, so Michael, one of the archangels, intervened to fight for me because I had been blocked from coming to you with the answer." Now, isn't that interesting? It is to me. They say that Daniel, he was such a man of prayer that his knees were calloused. He was on his knees, and so you'd think anybody that prayed as much as Daniel, that God would hear it and answer it immediately. But here it's saying there's a spiritual battle going on. When you pray, there's a spiritual battle going on. And here the angel says, "I even brought in Michael, one of the archangels, to help fight this evil." Isn't that kind of like the wildest verse you've ever heard? You know, there's a dimension beyond your prayers that we don't have any more than that in Scripture about it. But the Bible tells us that Daniel had a prayer. It wasn't answered, and it wasn't answered, and it wasn't answered, and he's starting to get discouraged, and the angel shows up and says, "I'm here to give you the answer. You know, we heard it from day one, but we've been in the battle over this, and it was so intense that I had to bring in Michael." Michael must be the heavyweight, the archangel. Now, I don't know any more about it than that. I just know that this is not as simple as we might think it is. So I want you maybe to write this down somewhere in your outline. A delay is not a denial. A delay in your answered prayers doesn't mean it's a denial. When an answer to prayer is delayed, it doesn't mean it's not going to be answered. There may be some kind of spiritual warfare going on behind it, and you've got to keep praying. A delay is not a denial. Here's the third thing that we remember. First, that there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. Second, there's a spiritual delay because of spiritual warfare is going on. And third, there's another reason for the delay, and it's this. Remember, God is preparing me for his blessing. God is preparing me for his blessing. When you have an idea and you ask God to do something in your life, God usually has a bigger idea. And usually has a better idea. And he's going to have to prepare you to get ready for a bigger and better answer to your prayer. And he usually has to take some time getting you ready, preparing you. The first thing God wants to do before he answers your prayer for a job, for a mate, for a child, to get married, whatever your prayer request is, he first wants to get you ready, because God's more interested in changing your character than he is in answering your prayer. Because your character is what you're going to take to heaven. Here's what the Bible says. It says it in 1 Peter 1. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. This includes delays. These troubles test your faith. In other words, the troubles you're going through right now, it's a test. It says they test your faith to show that it is strong and pure, just as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. Some of you here today are going through the fire. Right now, I'd say keep going. Don't give up. What do you do when you're going through hell? You keep going. You don't want to stay there. You keep walking. When you're going through the fire, you keep going. He says these troubles are here to test your faith. You might write this down. Waiting is always a test. Waiting's always a test. When you're praying for something in your life and it hasn't happened, and you're in that delay, you're in that time zone, you're in that season between harvesting and sowing, waiting is always a test. It tests your character. It tests your faith. It tests your trust. It tests your endurance. It tests all kinds of things in your life. Waiting is a test. In fact, Paul compares waiting in life, the Apostle Paul, waiting on God when you really want something that hasn't happened yet. Paul compares it to being pregnant. In Romans chapter 8, a great analogy here. I love it in the Message paraphrase. In Romans 8, 24 through 28, Paul says it like this: waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful in our expectancy. Meanwhile, when we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He, talking about the Holy Spirit, prays in us and for us. He knows us far better than we know ourselves and knows our pregnant condition. That's why he can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. That's a powerful message, a powerful analogy. He says here the waiting, it's like being pregnant. It's like being expectant. In an expectancy, they don't call it expecting for nothing. You know, when a woman has a baby, she's expecting that baby. And he says, this is what it's like to wait on God. You know it's coming. You know it's going to happen. But this is what you've got to do. You've got to wait. Here's the fourth thing to remember. I need to remember when I'm in the waiting zone. Remember, I'm in good company when waiting on God. That's the fourth thing to remember. Remember, I'm in good company when waiting on God. Millions of saints before you have sat in God's waiting room. Okay, it's not just you. You're not alone. In fact, if you're in the waiting room right now, you're waiting on a job, you're waiting on an answer to prayer, you're waiting, there's a lot of other people sitting around you right now that are in the waiting room also. They're in the same situation you are. Millions of saints have sat in God's waiting room, so you're in good company. Hebrews 11:2 says it like this: people who lived in the past became famous because of their faith. And every one of those people had to wait. Think about that. Hannah, who had to wait years to have the baby that she was praying that God would give her. Think about Joseph, who God gave him a dream of being a ruler, and he had the vision from a very young childhood age. And he ends up being put in prison for 14 years. For a crime he did not commit. falsely accused of rape. And he spends 14 years in a prison and dungeon in Egypt waiting. God knew exactly where he was. He was just preparing him. Think about Moses. Moses waits 40 years in the wilderness to know his purpose in life, to know his next assignment, to know what he's supposed to do with his life. Or what about Abraham? Abraham waits 100 years before he has Isaac, his first child through Sarah, the promised child of God that God had promised him years before. Or what about Noah? He had to wait 120 years before it rained. He didn't even know what rain was. And he was waiting and building the ark. So when you think you're in a waiting period, how would you like to wait 120 years? You know, and the whole time you're building an ark and everybody's coming and saying, well, what's an ark? Well, it's a big boat. You know, well, why? Because it's going to rain. Well, what's rain? You know, it had never rained up to that point. Can you imagine building an ark in your front yard and how your teenage kids are all embarrassed? My dad, he's kind of a nut. You know, how long has he been working on that boat? 120 years. Okay. Why? Because it's going to flood. Well, what's a flood? God waited thousands of years before sending the Messiah. We get in a hurry, but God is not in a hurry. Look at this next verse, Hebrews 6:15. It says, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. But the waiting is essential to faith. Number five, the fifth thing to remember, the last one we're going to talk about this morning. You know, we remember there's time delay between planting and harvesting. We remember there's a spiritual battle going on. We remember that God is preparing me for the answer. We remember that I'm in good company while I'm waiting. And number five, remember God always keeps his promises. Always. That's what you need to remember when you're in God's waiting room. Because unlike other people, you can count on God to come through. You can count on God to come through because of these over 7,000 promises in the Bible that he has made. And God staked his reputation on it. So what do you do in the waiting room? You don't focus on what you can't do. You know, I don't have the money. I don't have the talent. I don't have the connections. I don't have the opportunity. You don't focus on what you don't have. You focus on what God does have and what God can do. One of the ways you focus on what God can do is through the promises of God. Promises can help you focus on God and his unlimited abilities instead of you and your limited abilities. The Bible says anything is possible if you have faith. Habakkuk 2:3 says this. God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Some of you might need to write that verse down on a card and put it up on your refrigerator. God says, my word will come true. You can trust it if I say it. It's going to happen. It may take a while, but keep on waiting. It will happen. You know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And when you're in the waiting room, that's a good time to memorize scripture. If you're in the waiting room right now and you're waiting on, what's next, Lord? You're waiting on a new job. You're waiting on a new answer to a prayer. You're waiting on a doctor's report. Now's the time to memorize scripture. That's what you remember. That's what you do. That's what you remember when you're in God's waiting room. Last week we talked about having the courage to step out in faith by being generous in our giving of our time, our talents, and our tithes. We talked about some of the finances at Echo Mountain Church. I know that it's a scary thing to be courageous, in your giving. But we need to remember God's promises. We need to remember his promises. You have not been waiting on God God has been waiting on you to demonstrate courageous faith. You can never imagine what God's going to do. It's not too late. Now, there are four things that next week we're going to talk about to do when we're in God's waiting room. And so we'll discuss those next week. I invite you to come back as we do that. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Lord, this morning, as we wait on you, and as we wait on and what you would have for us, as we wait on our prayers, Lord, help us to remember. Help us to remember your promises. Help us to remember that you are a loving God, that you are a caring God, that you have it all figured out. Sometimes we just want to get in front of it, and we want it to do it right now. But Lord, you are preparing us for blessings. You are preparing our character, and you are preparing us for your love and your blessing. So Lord, help us to have courageous faith. Help us to courageously trust and place all of our trust in you for those things, those prayers, the things that we are waiting on in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.